Well, that's really all God asks of any of us, isn't it? Is that we be faithful. I'm glad you're here tonight. What a good-looking Wednesday evening crowd. And I'm just delighted you're here. Juan and I have enjoyed our brief visit with you. We get spoiled pretty easy, and you'd do it around here, I think. I know I've told you, but I need to remind folks. I was born in South Arkansas, raised up in Louisiana. I saw something the other day that carried me back home. I feel led to share it with you tonight. I mean, he says last night. Actually, he says last service. I may be done for. So I'm going to do all I can do. But this is absolutely, I mean, when I saw this, I said, oh, that's home. Things you'll never hear a Southern boy say. Are y'all ready for this? Number one, when I retire, I'm moving up north. Number two, I'm going to the dentist. Number three, duct tape won't fix that. Now, these are things you'll never hear a Southern boy say. We don't keep firearms in this house. No kids in the back of the pickup. It's just not safe. Wrestling is a fake. Things you're not ever going to hear a Southern boy say, we're vegetarians. Things you never hear a Southern boy say, you think my gut's too big? I'll have grapefruit and grapes instead of biscuits and gravy. Honey, we don't need another dog. Give me the small bag of pork rinds. Too many deer heads don't distract from the decor. Trim the fat off that steak. No. The tires on that truck are too big. Never hear it. Unsweetened tea tastes better. You can't take your truck there. Checkmate. Hey, here's an episode of Hee Haw we haven't seen. I'm wearing my suit to the funeral. It'll dawn on you after a while. I loved it. Exodus chapter 20. This is the commandment you've all been waiting for. I have imposed on you the last services, and we talked about the financial commandments. We've taken them from the Ten Commandments. Number one, thou shalt have no other God before me. Number two, thou shalt not try to acquire happiness by material things. Number three, thou shalt not be unthankful for whatever standard of living God has provided for you. Number four, thou shalt be a good steward. Number five, thou shalt not teach thy family that having and spending money is the answer to problems. Number six, where we stopped last night, thou shalt take time to budget. Well, we've come down now to verse 14. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Everybody's waiting for that one. And when you stop and think about it long enough, it's a gimme. But you'd have to, it actually can go two ways. You see, when a man or a woman commit adultery, they're defrauding someone. Right? But what I want us to see is the other side of it. When a man or a woman commit adultery, they're living above their God-provided means. And the commandment is, thou shalt live below thy means. You see, anytime it happens, thou shalt not commit adultery. Anytime it happens, somebody's believed a lie. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Or that's what it would take to make me happy. I'd be happy if, and there comes all of that adultery. It's the same thing with financial spending. When you go outside your means, you're creating all sorts of spiritual conflict in your life. There are all sorts of problems come. Why do people do it? Let's start the financial area of it. Now, why do people spend more than they have? Why in the world would they do it? Well, look over, if you would, now. We'll have to use the Bible a little bit. Look over to 1 Timothy, if you would. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. And we'll get right into it here. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. You found it? 1 Timothy 6, 6. Now, we're talking about why someone would live outside their means. But godliness with contentment, that's an interesting word, is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition for the love of money. Now please understand, it is not the money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, why do people live beyond their means? Because they're not content. One word. That's the only reason in the world anyone would do it. And we need to learn to live below our means. It's just a simple thing. Paul said on one occasion, I have learned therewith to be content. It's quite interesting when you spend enough time on it. Let me read it for you. Now listen carefully. Well, I think I'll read it if I find it here in a minute. Verse 10 and 11 in Philippians chapter 4. Let me just read verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be, what's the word? Content. Now, Paul didn't say, I have been content all my life. Paul didn't say, my circumstances always have kept me content. What did he say? Now, let's get it, because this is what the lesson's about. I have learned. People who live within their means have learned to live within their means. It's an effort, you see. Otherwise, if you don't do that, if you refuse to do that, you are stating to God, I am not content with you. I am not content with what you have provided. I am going somewhere else and live above my means. And so, contentment. That's one big issue with living above your means. Look over to Luke 14 now, Luke chapter 14. We'll run up another word here. Luke chapter 14, verse 28, if you would. Very familiar scripture. Luke 14, 28. We're talking about thou shalt live below thy means. Don't commit adultery. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth, that's the word, counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Least haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him. A lot of folks mocking Christians today because of their financial status. What you need to do, number one, is learn to be content. And number two, learn to count. You'll never be able to live below your means till you learn math. You have to be able to count. Back in the 80s, I was involved with Landmark Baptist Temple in Cincinnati, Ohio, and set up a stewardship department there. Church was running a little over 6,000 a Sunday. And so we set up the stewardship department, and the folks began to understand we were there for them. And they'd come by to get help in their financial situation. And it's always the same. After they understood that they were going to have to talk if we were going to work it out, the first thing I'd say, okay, well, what's your income? And we'll just use some figures. They'd say, well, $4,000 a month. I'd say, that's good. Now, what are your expenses? And for the first time in their life, they'd begin to count. Well, let's see, $1,400 for the house, $600 for the car, health insurance, $1,000, food, $900, utilities, $400, $500 for this, $300 for this, $200 for that. And they'd wind up with $7,000 worth of expenses. I'd say, now count it up. Count. And all of a sudden, for the first time in their life, they could see they were spending $2,000 a month more than they're making. That ought to work, oughtn't it? Yeah. Do you understand that folks spend hundreds of dollars a month foolishly? You know. I mean, if you even slow down when you go by Starbucks, you're a heathen. And nobody got that kind of money. Big gulp. About three of them a day will set you back about $200 a month. You're welcome. Eating out. Cell phones, satellite TV, electronic gimmicks. See, nobody puts that stuff in their budget. I know I must have told you this probably 100 times, but I have an acquaintance who works, his wife works, and he brings home his check, but he always cashes it, and he told me, he said, I hold out $100, and I put that in my wallet. I said, why? He said, well, I hold that out in case I need it. Guess how much he needs every week? $100. Some of you shouldn't carry cash. And you sure shouldn't carry a charge card. Huh? No. I promise you, if you don't have it in your pocket, you won't spend it. And you know, it's just, we call it throwaway money, but it's what's killing us. And you need to learn to count. Math. The one thing you told your teacher you'd never need, you need desperately. You've got to be able to add. I'm constantly amazed at cashiers today. Wanda and I stopped at a dry cleaner's. Oh, it's been a year and a half ago now. And she sat in the car and just left the car running. And I ran in to pick up my clothes, and the lady brought it out. And she said, that's $5.63. And I handed her a $20 bill, and she hit the cash register, and the drawer opened, and she said, "Oh, my goodness." I said, "What is it?" She said, "My readout on the cash register's not working." I said, "That's all right. Just give me my change." And she said, "I don't know how much it is." I said, "Honey, it's $14.37. Give me my change." And she said, "How do you know that?" I said, "Have you got a little calculator?" Now, this is a fact. I said, "Do you have a little calculator under there?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Get it out." I said, "Put $20 in." I said, "Now, subtract $5.63 from it." She did, and that thing showed $14.37, and she almost fainted. She thought I was doing magic. I mean, this is not a teenager. This is a grown woman, big time grown, high school graduate. Couldn't add nor subtract. I know. But see, if you can't count money, you need to get you somebody that can. Get your friend to help you, and you count up. See, if you have $4,000 a month income, or $40,000 a month, or $400,000 a month, get somebody to help you with the percentages on how much you can spend. Well, amen and amen. Number eight. Back to Exodus chapter 20. Verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. Now, you think I'm going to talk about tithing, don't you? Well, I could. See, the person that does not tithe, now don't take offense at me. I'm not writing it. The person who does not tithe is stealing from God. It's just a biblical fact. And you need to correct that if you're there. You say, "Well, I didn't know." Well, now you do. And you need to correct it, see. But I want to talk about it in the financial sense of just everyday living. Thou shalt not count on future earnings to pay present day expenses. You know, to spend money you don't have is stealing. Now, I have a charge card. We use it for the ministry. At the end of every month, we pay it in full. It is not a credit card. It is a charge card. I do not use it for credit. I use it to get receipts, you see. And for you to use a charge card to buy something on when you know you do not have the money to pay the bill is stealing. Well, this is not going good, but I didn't think it would. Look, 80% of Americans spend their tax return before they get it. You say, "Well, what's wrong with that? The check's on the way. I've been wanting this. I'll just buy it now, pay for it then." And you're never going to break that cycle till you just stop it. You know, just stop it. If you want something, save for it. You know, this buy now, pay later is financial suicide. America is the leading country in personal debt. That's something to be proud of, isn't it? Also the leading country in depression from being in debt. No joy. Why? We violated God's rules. We're going against everything the Bible teaches. You know, wait when you want something until you can pay for it. It's just pretty simple. See, this is the first generation that's ever lived this way. My generation didn't live that way. My parents didn't live that way. My grandparents didn't live that way. Kids graduate from college today with more debt than their parents had when they were 40 years old. It's crazy. See, most of them depressed. I just get honest. You don't even have to answer, smile, grunt, or nothing. Did you ever buy something and get depressed about it? About the time the card come due, you did. Number nine. Number one, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt live under your means. Number whatever. Thou shalt not count on future earnings to pay present expenses. Thou shalt not steal. The next one. We come now to verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Somebody said, well, I don't think I understand that. Well, the commandment is thou shalt use thy finances to bless others and to be a witness of God's goodness and God's grace to mankind. And multitudes of Christians are bearing false witness to the neighbor about it because of the way they live. The house hadn't been painted in 15 years, but they're driving a new car and the neighbor wishes it'd move. Their yard's the worst one in town. And there's a false witness out there, you see. They say, why would I want to be a Christian? I got a new house. I mean, I got a new car and my house is painted and my yard's mowed. But no, we don't bear a true witness. See, our purchases testify to our neighbors, or it should testify to our neighbors, that God is a good God in good times and bad times. Now that's what we should be witnessing. But here we are and we can't pay our bills. Yard's knee high. House not painted. Shingles blown off the roof. We got a good new car, but we are down, you know, the neighborhood association's on our case. False witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness, you know. Go, won't you talk to them about God? And they look over our shoulder and wonder why we can't paint our house. Wonder what's going on. You know, they think, well, I'd just be glad if they moved out of town. Look, if you can't pay your bills, it's not because God's not providing. It's because you're not managing. You know? See, we're here to bless others. That's central beatitude of the Bible. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And the people who are happiest are the ones who are giving. And Christians are wired to have joy, and you get to joy through giving. Well, let me give you number 10, because in just a moment, the green cards are going to be given out. And you'll have an opportunity to start getting your finances in shape. Now, let me give you a negative. Do not fill this out if you've not heard from God about it. If you've not prayed. Now the tithe, you can go ahead and put your tithe down. You don't need to pray about that. But what you're going to give over and above your tithe, your giving, or it's the building fund, or the bus fund, or Tuberculosis Association, TBA, whatever all this stuff is. You need to hear from God about that. It's not something you figure out. That's what got you in the mess you're in. This is something you need to hear from God about. And I think the preachers made it real plain. It's not a pledge to the church. It's a promise, a commitment between you and the Lord. So you need to know what He wants. Commandment number 10, back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor shalt thou covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The financial Ten Commandment is thou shalt not try to keep up with the Joneses. Don't covet what your neighbor's got, you know. God does not want you comparing yourself to your neighbors. He wants you comparing yourself to Jesus Christ. He is our model, our leader, And when you start comparing yourself to your neighbors, you're opening the door to covetousness. That's where it always happens. Doesn't matter what you're coveting. And he gave a pretty good list there. It brings trouble. It winds up as evil idolatry. Look to Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, if you would. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Be familiar to you, I think. If you've been here for many stewardship conferences, it will. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Over in Colossians chapter 3, and it's quite interesting when you get over there. I'm not going to take time to read it tonight, but there is a list there. And in that list is covetous. And as you go through it, it becomes idolatry. Now, somebody says, how can that happen? Because once you covet what one has, it becomes an idol. And the one who has it becomes a god to you. And now you want them to provide for you. You want what they have, you see. You want it rather than what God has for you. So he buys a new car. Guess what you have to have? New car. He lives in a certain neighborhood. What do you have to have? Got to have a certain neighborhood. See, and on it goes. Never content. Never counting. Always living above our means. And the question, I guess, is, well, if we could get it straight, I want you to turn to Hebrews 13, one verse, and we're going to be through. I want you to look at it very carefully. Hebrews chapter 13, another verse about covetousness, but it's got a kicker on the end of it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. You find it. This one's worth getting. Let your conversation be without, what? Covetousness. And be, what? Content with such things as you have. Now stop right there. Don't covet. Be content with what you have. Someone says, I don't know how God can expect me to do that. Well, let's read the rest of it then. For, because, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now that's good enough. See, why covet? God is saying, why covet what someone has when I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Now that needs to get home to us. Why covet what somebody else has? Why be discontent when I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Now, I must remind you, and it gets as serious as it can get now. God did forsake somebody one time. As he hung on Calvary's cross, and for the first time, it was not my Father, but my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And someone said, why did he do it? So that he could say he would never forsake us. Oh my. If we could just learn, you see. And let me say this to you in trying to wind up here. If your life's all messed up financially, God has not forsaken you. He's right there. He's ready to keep his promises. He's ready to do what he said he would do. And if your finances are out of order, God's waiting for you just to get them back in order. And get you some help and get it done. And God will bless you in a very special way. But we have to understand, just tithing and giving offerings are not going to correct your financial problem. You've got to learn to spend wisely. You've got to learn to save. And you've got to learn to give. And when all of that comes into place, then you find contentment. You find you're not looking around wondering why everybody else has this and you don't have it. Why they can drive that and you're pushing yours. Why your battery dies every other day and theirs don't. No. Just be glad you got a battery. And be content. For I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Would you bow your head, please? Every head is bowed, eyes are closed. Christians are praying. The pastor's going to come and continue our invitation at this time. And I'm going to invite you to listen carefully to what he has to say and then to respond to it properly. Look, if you're living beyond your means, just stop it. If you're buying stuff you don't have money to pay for, just stop it. Get it done now, Pastor.